It seemed that hours passed as I stood there under the bright fluorescence, waiting for the nurse on the fourth floor to come back on the line. Yvonne had some papers in front of her. She trailed her pen down one of them, putting neat little check marks beside some of the names, and it occurred to me that if there really was an angel of death, he or she was probably just like this woman, a slightly overworked functionary with a desk, a computer, and too much paperwork. Yvonne kept the phone pinched between her ear and one raised shoulder. The loudspeaker said that Dr. Farquhar was wanted in radiology. Dr. Farquhar. On the fourth floor, a nurse named Anne Corrigan would now be looking at my mother, lying dead in her bed, with her eyes open, the stroke-induced sneer of her mouth finally relaxing. Yvonne straightened as a voice came back on the line. She listened, then said, "All right, yes, I understand." "I will. Of course I will. Thank you, Muriel." She hung up the telephone and looked at me solemnly. "Muriel says you can come up, but you can only visit for 5 minutes. Your mother's had her evening meds, and she's very soupy." I stood there, gaping at her. Her smile faded a little bit. "Are you sure you're all right, Mr. Parker?" "Yes," I said. "I guess I just thought..." Her smile came back. It was sympathetic this time. "Lots of people think that," she said. "It's understandable. You get a call out of the blue, you rush to get here. It's understandable to think the worst. But Muriel wouldn't let you up on her floor if your mother wasn't fine. Trust me on that." "Thanks," I said. "Thank you so much." As I started to turn away, she said, "Mr. Parker, if you came from the University of Maine up north, may I ask why you're wearing that button? Thrill Village is in New Hampshire, isn't it?" I looked down at the front of my shirt and saw the button pinned to the breast pocket. I rode the bullet at Thrill Village, Laconia. I remembered thinking he intended to rip my heart out. Now I understood. He had pinned his button on my shirt just before pushing me into the night. It was his way of marking me, of making our encounter impossible not to believe. The cuts on the backs of my hands said so. The button on my shirt said so, too. He had asked me to choose, and I had chosen. So how could my mother still be alive? "This?" I touched it with the ball of my thumb, even polished it a little. "It's my good luck charm." The lie was so horrible that it had a kind of splendor. I got it when I was there with my mother a long time ago. She took me on the bullet. Yvonne, the information lady, smiled, as if this were the sweetest thing she had ever heard. "Give her a nice hug and kiss," she said. "Seeing you will send her off to sleep better than any of the pills the doctors have." She pointed. "The elevators are over there, around the corner." With visiting hours over, I was the only one waiting for a car. There was a litter basket off to the left, by the door to the newsstand, which was closed and dark. I tore the button off my shirt and threw it in the basket. Then I rubbed my hand on my pants. I was still rubbing it when one of the elevator doors opened. I got in and pushed for 4. The car began to rise. Above the floor buttons was a poster announcing a blood drive for the following week. As I read it, an idea came to me, except it wasn't so much an idea as a certainty. My mother was dying now, at this very second, while I rode up to her floor in this slow industrial elevator. I had made the choice. It therefore fell to me to find her. It made perfect sense.